Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We are really, really pleased to be with you. We appreciate each and every one of you that come to our show. And I got to tell you, the shares that you guys are doing of our shows making a big difference. I mean, as I investigate news stories, I see you guys sharing our interviews here far and wide, and we greatly appreciate it. And quite honestly, waking up the 50% of America, and excuse the expression, that are dumber and more ignorant than a box of rocks, is going to take exactly what you're doing. We appreciate you. We have a terrific guest for you today. You've heard him before. He's been a guest many, 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 many times on this show. And we're going to be talking about border security, some stats connected to border security, so we can go fact-based and not propaganda-based like our friends over at CNN and the other leftist media. And that man is Doug Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report. And if you've never heard of the show, if you're new to the movement, you're new to the resistance, so to speak, Doug will be telling you how you can listen to his show, and it's the best show that's out there. Well, two sponsors make this hour possible, and I'd be negligent if I didn't tell you who they were. In any crisis, you know you're going to need food and you're going to need water. That's your basis and your basics of preparation. Well, we have the best storable food company in the world, My Patriot Food Supply. I have never had one complaint since I've been their advertiser. And I have to tell you, restaurant quality, it's terrific. I've tried it. It's awesome. 25-year shelf life, no glyphosates, no GMOs, just good stuff and lots of variety. You need at least 6 months to 2 years. But we recognize that sometimes when you're starting to prep, you can't meet that burden. It's too expensive. So what we have are 2 and 4 week packages. I think you're going to really appreciate what we've done. And there's 70% off if you act quickly. That's right. Not going to get a better deal anywhere else. How do you get yours? Go to preparewithdave.com. It's all self-explanatory. It's all laid out there. Preparewithdave.com. Well, I mentioned you need water. The Alexa Pure Pro Filter is the industry standard. It can take just about anything out of your water, from the harmful chromium 6 that 218 million of you have in your water that'll cause cancer if you drink it long enough, to the pharmaceuticals, to the lead, to the pesticides. It takes it all out. And it can turn most standing water into drinking water. The Alexa Pure Pro Filter. And there's a special right now. Go to waterwithdave.com. Waterwithdave.com. So you've got what you need, food and water. Well, let's get right to our guest. Doug Hagman needs no introduction. He's been in this business for a long time. He's one of the respected godfathers of the business, which means people go to him for advice. People go to him to hear, hey, Doug, what's the latest? So that's what we're going to do. Doug, welcome to the show, and what's the latest?
Dave, thank you so much. Godfather, huh?
Doug, you're coming in just a little hot here on the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back away a little bit. How's
okay,
that?
There you go. That's perfect. Thanks.
Just when I thought I was out, they dragged me back in. You know. Yeah. All right. So, wow. What was the question? I was so tuned up about doing the Godfather imitation.
Well, I'll tell you the question. I'll answer it this way. People think I'm a bad guy for wanting to lock my door and build a security gate on my front door. They think I'm really a bad person. They think I should open up my door to anybody that wants to come in. And I should prepare snacks for everyone that comes in, too, just like we would Santa on Christmas Eve. That's the question.
That's right. And if you don't do it, we're going to sue you. And we're going to call you names. Yeah.
That's true, because, you know, you never know. If I have a non-white person come to my door, then I'm a racist if it's locked.
Yeah, of course, of course. You know, the issue of illegal immigration or illegal aliens, its effect on American, the lives of Americans is is just incredibly sad, because every year hundreds of thousands of aliens deliberately violate our nation's laws. They unlawfully cross U.S. borders, the majority of which are in the southern border, the 1,969-mile border between the United States and Mexico, the land border, of course, separated by the Rio Grande. Of course, when someone comes over, it's a misdemeanor. When repeated after deportation, it becomes a felony. So when you think about it, and I should say this, there are two types of illegal aliens. It's just so we're talking in the proper context. Two major types of illegal aliens. And that, by the way, is a correct phrase, not illegal immigrants, but illegal aliens that exist in the U.S. today. Those who illegally enter the country and are referred, those who illegally enter the country, and those who enter legally and then overstay or overstay their visas. Now, illegal immigration, of course, as we know, it's not a victimless crime. The consequences of illegal immigration are far-reaching. You've got an enormous drain on public funds. I think all of this is pretty much, everyone knows this, but in this conversation that we're having, at least if we can set the groundwork and then build upward from there. So if you're bored, just skip ahead a minute or two. But the effect on the economy, the effect on the population, the needs of endless numbers of poor, unskilled, illegal aliens undermine the quality of education, of healthcare, services for Americans. We know this. It undermines national security, because many reports of late, especially from the Department of Homeland Security, regardless of what you think of the organization, they've documented numerous terrorists within the caravans and within the illegal entrance, and those are the ones we know about. So, having established that, and we can cite all day long serious crimes by illegal aliens here in this country. But what we're seeing in the larger scale, and Dave, this is because I love your writings, I love your work, and I love your approach, because I'm a big picture kind of guy. This is not what we're seeing today, when you've got 30 lawmakers on the Democratic side down in Puerto Rico during government shutdown. You had Pelosi, vacationing in Hawaii, and of course, not budging on the border security issue. Why is that? What's the bigger picture here? The bigger picture is ultimately they want to destroy the United States, and they want to do so. This is just one of many ways they want to destroy the United States. So if you look at this simply as a humanitarian issue, you're not seeing the big picture. People are not seeing the big picture. This is part of a multifaceted war against President Donald Trump. Because remember, back in 06, 07, 08, you had Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and Clinton and even Obama saying you can't have illegal, aliens coming into this country. You can't have it. And then something happened and something switched. And I would also say this, go back to 1965, the Immigration Naturalization Act of 1965. That was Teddy Kennedy's baby. That was signed in under Lyndon Johnson. And, of course, that took away the quotas that redirected our immigrants coming from Western Europe, societies and cultures like ours, very similar to ours, and started drawing aliens or immigrants, I should say, in this case, from third world nations that had nothing in common with the United States. So if you go back to 1965, just briefly, let's visit there just briefly on the legal side of things. You had the structure, the infrastructure set up to change the complexion of the United States. And I'm not talking about the racial makeup necessarily. I'm talking about the entire makeup. I'm talking about the moral, ethical, religious fabric of this country, as well as, of course, the racial component. But that's so far down on the list, it really doesn't matter. So the legal infrastructure having been set up post-World War II, it set the stage for the Balkanization, ultimate balkanization of the United States. And this was done in conjunction with, if you look very close, with the 65 legislation. This is done kind of with the United Nations, and even though it wasn't called Agenda 21 at the time, it wasn't referenced in that. There's nowhere. It was going toward that. It had similar goals and objectives. So when you fast forward through the presidential administrations, you get back, you know, you go to Reagan, where he acquiesced and he blinked, and all of a sudden amnesty for a whole bunch of illegals already in this country. And then Clinton opened the doors. And then what Obama did, of course, and during the 8 years was just absolutely lawlessness. And I mean, absolute lawlessness where he, I could go on for 15 minutes. As a matter of fact, on my Twitter feed, I linked to a 2016 video about this very topic, that where Obama, what Obama did, what Clinton did as Secretary of State, but specifically Obama, what he had done is was absolute lawlessness. It was against the law. It was against the Constitution by giving amnesty, by actually going against the Constitution and providing this. In addition to DACA and all the stuff that we know about, he did a lot of things that are not public knowledge, and no one called him out on this, including the Republicans. Where were the Republicans if we were to, you know, to ascribe Republican and Democrat to so anyway, bottom line is this. We find ourselves in the position where we are today because we have had a uniparty system that really has been welcoming this illegal influx, because it benefits obviously the rich in a number of ways. It benefits the government. It benefits NGOs. It benefits everyone except the United States of America, the citizens of the United States of America. It benefits the top 1%. It benefits the lawmakers and the lobbyists, because of course they make money on the backs of these illegals. So we find ourselves where we're at today because of the spineless, gutless, coward people that were in government. And that includes Republicans and Democrats. That includes Paul Ryan and Pelosi. That includes everyone you can think of. No one stood up and said, hey, enough is enough. Now we've got right around 30 million. And some people will say, no, it's only 10. It might be 15. It might be 12. We got upwards of 30 million illegals in this country. That's the best guess, because, 99% of the time, no one really knows.
No, so Doug, CNN said it's 11 million, and we know they're never wrong, and it's the same amount that was here during the Reagan years. So it hasn't grown.
Sure.
For us to say that would be blatantly untrue and right-leaning propaganda.
Well, I picture CNN. There's an apple, and of course that apple's a rotting fruit. But you know what? Yeah, it's but regardless, if it's 10 million or 30 million, and again, I think 10 million is woefully conservative and wrong. But my goodness, they are lawbreakers in this country. If it's the first time, they're misdemeanors, and if they were once deported, it's a felony. And Obama stopped deportations. And now we are doing at this point, we're enforcing the immigration law. And there's two sides to this, or two parts to this. We're enforcing immigration law, of course, and that's by pushing the deportation of those here illegally. And then, of course, the second part is we're trying to erect this barrier, call it a wall, call it a metal slatted fence, it doesn't matter, in areas where it's most needed. Initially, $5.7 billion. The Democrats are saying, no, we can't, or the communists, I'm sorry, not Democrats, the communists are saying, no, we don't want walls, we don't want borders. And that's their objective, is a world without borders, because, we're all members of the planet. But what they are doing here, this is a direct assault on the United States of America. And I'm sorry if this is too basic, but there are a lot of people out there who really are stupid. I'm sorry, not your listeners, not my listeners, But the occasional listener who might tune into this and say, oh, okay, what's going on? I mean, if these people cannot understand that the objective here is to take down the United States from within, and this is just one of several battle fronts, there's nothing more that we have to talk about, because this is how important this is. If they, meaning the illegal aliens, are allowed to come here and bring their here, as I've said many times before, and I'm quoting Keith Hansen, who's a conservative talk show host up in New England, then we don't have here anymore. We have there. We have Venezuela. We are Venezuela, or we become Venezuela. And that's what the objective is. It is to create a communist utopia in the United States, to subjugate the Constitution to things like the Quran, or the God of globalism, which is atheism, that no God at all, communist. But it's to change the United States from a constitutional republic into this non-existent communist utopia under which the American people will suffer. And that's the bigger picture.
I have to correct you on one thing, and I apologize. The words communism and utopia do not belong in the same sentence. Sorry, that's an oxymoron.
It's a communist utopia for those people attempting to implement it, and it's a communist hell for those other people who realize what's going on. You're absolutely correct. It's more of a No, and I stand corrected with that, but I'm talking in terms of how that the Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders think of communism and socialism.
Oh, I've got in my article that ran Sunday, January the 13th, I actually talk about front groups that are supporting Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, I forget the third. Oh, yes, the Presidential Exploration Committee of Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. And it's coming from Soros, UN, migration, money, but it's being filtered through front groups. Doug, it just, the things that come out are so easy to find today. But I'm stunned at the boldness of this. I mean, have you asked yourself how Ocasio-Cortez gets all these late-night talk show appearances, why she's front and center on CNN? My wife and I were in a restaurant, and for 45 minutes, they had on this restaurant CNN, and it was 45 minutes of Ocasio-Cortez calling Trump a racist over the wall. 45 minutes. How did she get that kind of a coverage?
Yeah. Well, and that's a great observation there. It's because Donald Trump is right. The fake news media is real. I mean, it's an enemy of the people. It's a danger to the American constitutional republic, and it's a fifth column. I mean, it's really the news media has turned into an advocacy or an advocate or advocates for the communist / socialist agenda that we see taking place here. And it's, if you notice the people who are purchasing the media, I mean the Bezos of the world and such, you know, their political ideology is just
Bezos got busted by the National Enquirer, who end up selling their stuff to Fox News, and Bezos has this torrid affair, and he promotes himself as such a man of morality, yet he's got caught texting his private parts to his mistress, now announced girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, who used to be Good Morning LA on the Fox affiliate there. But by the way, his wife's going to laugh all the way to the bank. She's going to be the world's richest woman, $20 billion richer than anybody else. And this is...
They're all scumbags. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, they're all scumbags.
But let me ask you a question here. When we bring up Amazon, and I brought this up not just as an anecdotal sidebar story, what role do you think these major corporations, Google, Amazon, what role are they playing in undermining our border security at any cost?
Well, cheap labor. I mean, it's to their benefit. And the other one thing that's really not talked about, it's mentioned, but then it's kind of glossed over. E-Verify. My goodness. Are they employing E-Verify, for example? Chances are no. No, they're not. And you've got this ability for the agricultural, the certain, not all, but certain farmers, certain large corporations to employ these illegals. And it's kind of a great thing for them. Of course, they don't have to, they can underpay them. They don't have to pay. There's no taxes. There's no FICA and federal taxes taken out. No one's going to tell on them, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then, of course, the household help. I'd like to see some of these people. I can see their home rosters. And then, of course, you've got the promises of, again, the better society. And it's all the democratic socialist promises that are made. So this is and as you had mentioned too, and you pointed this out, when you look at the infrastructure that's been created by George Soros and other non-governmental organizations, you know, Catholic Charities, Dave, I mean, my goodness, they're making $1,000, $1,200 a head for each one of the illegal aliens that they bring over or that they you know, tend to. And it's a cash cow for these people. So in addition to the voting, in addition to the exploitation, and you talk about the worst people to exploit. I mean, my goodness, the exploitation of the humanity. It's by the socialist, democrat, socialists, and communists. They're the ones. It's the Pelosi's of the world who are, and the Schumer's of the world who are exploiting these people. And yes, the Amazons and Bezos. And that's why I don't need, you know, look, I don't know the numbers, but I can guarantee you, all you have to do is take a look, and you'll find, and at least in my view, you'll find a lot of shenanigans going on with illegal aliens and employment and lack of E-Verify and shortcuts to the system and promises and, of course, you know, the takedown of our economic system. And this is a heavy weight, by the way, in our economy.
Well,
so
I look, should anyone be surprised? And this is not another side turn. Are you aware of Nancy Pelosi's brother and father's background?
Brother and father's. You remind me, and I'm sure the audience would.
Hardcore East Coast Mafia.
Okay.
Hardcore. Okay. I mean, connected with some of the gang bosses of all time, and both in politics. Interesting. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And my point is, these are in some way all compromised people. Kirsten Sinema, you know, this shows you how many dumb boxes of rocks we have living in Arizona. The fact that she got elected. She went on Ernie Hancock's show and said, this is right after 9/11, and she said, I have no problem with Americans fighting for the Taliban. And now she's a senator. You look at these people and their backgrounds, organized crime, supporting terrorism, and then you've got Trevor Loudon, enemies within, 80 congressmen belonging to front groups for the American Communist Party. I mean, Doug, this is who we're electing.
You know, I don't want to sound, and I'm being very serious about this. Kirsten Sinema, isn't that a he, or is that a she?
She.
Wasn't there an issue with her? That's not a trans. She's not the transsexual, right?
No, or is she's she? Not. No, she's not. No, she's okay. An admitted bisexual, but she toned that down during the campaign.
Okay. All right. My apologies. And that was a legitimate question. I just, okay. All right. Chicago mob, I guess, right? I mean, it's a mob rule here. And, you know, it's amazing because we look at the immigration or illegal invasion is what it is. We look at the lawlessness that we're seeing, the lawlessness with the Department of Justice that we've seen under Obama, under, you know, of course, Lynch and Holder before that, and one can argue right back through the uniparty of George Bush. The fact that we've got two systems of justice, you know, one set of laws for them and one for us.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this ties together. And again, this is a multi-pronged approach. And I think, Dave, the way and your articles and your reports, you're showing, and I think that I think people can see that we are now at the tipping point. I think 2019 is going to be the year that there will be.
Yes.
The tipping point is here.
It is. Undoubtedly, Doug. And it just, you know, this is how, you know, and we've kind of alluded to this, and I want to put this out in front and center. I've told people that listen to my podcast, that read my articles, that we have maybe 3 to 6 months to make really good headway into 50% of the country that is ignorant by choice, dumber than a box of rocks, or complicit with the other side. I think we can turn maybe 5 to 10% of them with a concentrated effort. And that's really all we need to be really hard to subjugate. But right now, Doug, we're going down the path of little resistance, and we are less than a year away from being totally subjugated. That's my view. Now, Trump has to go for that to happen. I think Donald Trump has to be forced out of office one way or the other. But we're in big trouble.
Yeah. And I think that's the ultimate objective here. You look at the task of the 116th Congress, just sworn in on the 3rd. You know, what's their ultimate objective? Their ultimate objective is to obstruct the forward progression of our country under President Donald Trump, with the ultimate objective of removing him from office before 2020. Now, in case that can't happen, they're going to make damn sure that there's not going to be a repeat of 2016. Because that was, you know, how in the world could that have possibly have happened, of course. And so they're going to do everything in their power to make sure, and I was going to say short of some destructive force, but I'm not even going to say that. They're going to make sure that'll never happen again. And I fear, and I have a real big fear for the life and lifespan of President Trump, because this is how serious this is. And I have a fear of our country. You know, what's going to take place, because these people are power hungry. They don't want to, they got a death grip on power. And, you know, it's, if they can't have the United States in the form and fashion that they want, they're going to burn it all down. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
I can even hear, and I might even turn this into a podcast, and to hell with YouTube with a big middle finger, but I can even hear the report. Donald Trump assassinated, reports Jim Acosta of CNN. Well, it was a long time coming, and many people think it was well-deserved. Regardless of your beliefs, it was a time for leadership change. The 45th president dead by an assassin's bullet. I could almost write the script for CNN.
You know, and it'll be, you can damn well bet it'll be from one of the big back black ugly guns or scary guns. And I would also say probably, you know, a right wing zealot who is upset that, you know, Donald Trump didn't, I don't know, give him a nod or something. You know, it's going to be a, in my view anyway, it's going to be a JFK-esque kind of a situation where generations are going to go by and we're not going to have any truthful answers by the media. But yeah, I can see that, and the script is already written, I think. But I think God had, honestly, I think God has really given President Trump a hedge of protection. And I'm not one, look, I'm not a minister or pastor, so I really don't have a lot of business to speak about God, except I know that there's a divine, in my view, there's a divine protection, at least that's what I feel, over President Trump. And I think God puts people in power and he takes people out of power, but I think God is protecting Donald Trump at this point.
Well, I think you're probably right, but here's something that really bothers me about Trump, and I am greatly bothered by this, and I'll just run through a few things and let you comment on them as you see fit. One, we are his support base, we being in the independent media, the Hagman & Hagman Report, the Common Sense Show, stevequayle.com. We are his main supporters. Without us, he's not getting elected in 2016. I don't care how that sounds, that's a fact. Second thing, let me back up here. He's not doing anything about what's being done to us by the liberal media, by the liberal tech companies. Okay, the second thing that greatly concerns me is his constant waffling. The border issue. You know, I'm going to declare a national emergency. Well, I'll declare a national emergency. I'll declare a national emergency. He sounds like a British cop without a gun that says stop or I'll say stop again. I mean, he's looking indecisive. Make your damn mind up. Take a stand. Do something. thing. And then you have all these people who are low-hanging fruit that could be prosecuted. He just needs to get one to get a victory and get the country's attention. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is my choice. She's out there. She's exposed because of the Juan brothers. And if you take her down, you expose Podesta, you expose Clinton. You don't need to go after the big people. Her key people to go after. Uma Abedin would be another one. And Doug, he's not doing anything there. And by the way, anyone who thinks QAnon is worth their salt, they really need to examine it, because next week I hear there's 105,000 indictments. No, that's right. Next month it'll be 200,000 indictments. And it just never ends with this nonsense with QAnon. And I know I'm ranting, Doug, but I'm frustrated with this president, because if you're going to go down in a blaze of glory, if you're going to get impeached, or if you're going to get assassinated, and there's no way out for him now, he is in the office, then damn it, stand up and go down fighting. If someone's going to kick my ass, I'm going to make them earn it.
You know, and I feel your frustration. I do. Taking the big picture here all at once. When you look at it, I don't think. I mean, you have to understand that he certainly was not a politician. He was when he was put in this position, and you have so many permanent employees around you, and so many people who, I think that he selected poorly in many respects, and I think that he depended upon people who stabbed him in the back, and I think you talk about an immense learning curve. I mean, that'd be like throwing. I'm not making excuses for him, but I'm saying that there are many things that we can say, well, what about this and what about that? However, when you look at what he has done in the first 500 days, now we're at day 725, I think it is, of his administration. Let me give you one example of something that he really, that this is, to me, that this is critical for people to understand. As soon as I find my note here, my desk looks like a first year law student, I think, you know, with books open and papers everywhere. But one thing that he has done very positively, when you look at the judicial system, it needs revamped, and it needs revamped for good. So you look at Article III, or federal judges, they're known as Article III judges. In total, there are currently 870 of them. And to break that down, you've got 9 on the Supreme Court. Now, Donald Trump put 2 in, and I'm sure a third is coming. So he's put, so there are 9 on the Supreme Court. He's got the Court of International Trade. There's 9 positions there. Court of Appeals, 179. And then the various district courts throughout the United States, 673. If my math is right, that'll come out to 870. Those are Article III judges. So when you look at the replacement, how he's replacing judges with constitutional judges, you're going to see this huge. In fact, he has nominated and had confirmed more judges than Obama and Bush combined. And if I'm not mistaken, most of Clinton. So he's done that already, plus many other successes. So I say that because in a lot of the areas here, especially the ones that are going to have generational impact, because these are lifetime appointments, he's done very well. Now, some will say, okay, and how about the wall? Well, where in the hell's the wall at? Where's the barrier at? What's not being reported is there have been 35 or 40 miles worth of wall erected in certain areas on the southern border. That's not getting any play, and that's you being is that like a panacea, of course, or is that like a something we should celebrate? No, not necessarily, but things are getting done. But the big thing is here, when you look at in my view, the globalists and the people around him. I don't know how many people out there try to run a company and have your middle or upper management working against you. And I've had that experience here. I mean, it's you think things are getting done, and you're trying to watch everything that's going on, and all of a sudden you're getting screwed. You know, you grab your ankles because people are, you know, and I don't want to, I'm sorry for sounding, you know, gross, but so I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just understanding it, or I'm trying to get people to understand. He's done a lot in the 725 days of his presidency, but he's also getting screwed a lot by the people around him, by the globalists, by the people who are, you know, the allegiance, who've got their allegiance to a globalist agenda. So you talk about a swamp, man. He's neck deep in the swamp and he's fighting for his lives. And we need to stay behind him. And for example, real quick, he asked, and I don't know how many people saw this, but he asked for people to contact their congressperson and say, build the flipping wall and vote to end the shutdown and build the wall or appropriate the $5.7 billion. How many people listening to this have done that to have helped him out? Yet we stand back and we bitch and we moan and we complain that, well, it's not, nothing's getting done. Well, let's give him a hand a little bit. If he asks for assistance, let's do it. Again, I'm not making any excuses. I'm just saying he's in some rough waters, man, and he's just one person, and there are a hell of a lot of people out there wanting to take him down.
No, listen, I totally agree with you, but let's just look at one thing, just one issue, okay? Going into the 2016 midterms, the conservatives were drowned out by the liberal media. And that would have been the time that Trump should have stepped up and he should have called Google in and said, here's the deal. We're going to prosecute you for everything that's on your subsidiary websites that is like child porn. You don't get open forum exemption anymore because you are censoring and that's a violation. He didn't do that. He threatened to do it, but he didn't do it. And had he done it, and had we get full access to things like YouTube and we're not algorithmed out of Google searches, the Democrats might not have won the House. We wouldn't be looking at 80 to 100 endless hearings all centered on impeachment if he had done that one thing, Doug.
Well, I, when you say that one thing, it sounds simple, but I think that there are a lot of, now again, I'm not making excuses, but I think there are a lot of other components to that because you're looking at, for example, what you're referencing in part is Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. There are elements that need, if you're going to stick to a constitutional, the rule of law, you're going to need constitutional backing for changes made, especially with respect to Section 230 of the CDA, which we're referencing here, and that separates the content makers from the merely the pass-throughs. So having said that, I can see where he could perhaps do some things, much like Obama did, say, okay, I'm going to create this order here or order there, but before the ink is dry on that action or that order, you're gonna have some activist judge come out and say, nope, you can't do that, or we're gonna sue you, and it's done. I mean, look at the travel restriction. How long was that out there before it was labeled or before some rogue federal judge knocked it down again?
Well, there's an answer to that too. The answer to that too is he should be in control of the Supreme Court from his philosophical point of view. So all decisions end up in the Supreme Court. The president can get these things expedited for hearing.
Listen, I agree.
I'm on Trump's side. Listen to me. But I'm saying he, in my opinion, has been negligent in areas that I'm highlighting right now, things he could take action on and has control over.
Well, yeah, no, you're right, and it's frustrating. It frustrates the living heck out of me. I understand that. I don't know why. There are certain things I just don't have a clue as to why. However, I can see that at least in my view anyway, I can see almost this resurgence or this learning curve getting a little bit sharper, I should say. He's going to go Andrew Jackson. I can see him going Andrew Jackson on certain things, meaning to say that he's going to say to one of these days, he's going to, a federal judge is going to come in and say, you can't do that. He's going to say, okay, try to stop me. And that's what I mean by that. And I think that that's where we're at. But the other side of that too, Dave, don't you think, and I'll put this to you. For example, we know people need to be in federal jewelry. They need to be adorned with federal jewelry. By that, I mean leg irons and handcuffs. Now, what would it look like, for example, for a Wasserman Schultz to be placed in that or a Hillary Clinton or a Brennan or a Comey, without the support of the Department of Justice or without the Department of Justice or the independent. I mean, what would the reaction be in this country? Would it destroy this country? And I understand how.
It depends who you start with. And that's my position on this. You can't start with Hillary Clinton because now you're going to push the button for civil war.
Right.
I think what you have to do is start with a lower level operative that is the lowest hanging fruit you can find, but name is known to a lot of people. And you've got crimes that are connected to things like obstruction of justice, where it's black and white. You concealed evidence or you didn't. You destroyed evidence or you didn't. That's why I pick Wasserman Schultz. She is really vulnerable. And as the former head of the DNC, you bring in the Seth Rich murder. You bring in Clinton's emails that she whitewashed through the Awan brothers. You bring in Anthony Weiner and his connection. I could go on and on, but you get the idea. Podesta, you got Pizzagate. You name it, she is at the crossroads of a lot of stuff. Now, I think there's other low-hanging fruit. If she's too big for you, I think there is other low-hanging fruit. Why isn't he convening a Senate investigation on Dianne Feinstein's relationship for 2 decades with her little Chinese spy and her connection to Feinstein's husband for all these land deals that favored China? I mean, come on, Doug, this is low-hanging fruit as well.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And the only thing I can say is I suspect that, well, for example, bad pick on Sessions. Now you got Whitaker. It's interim, and then you're going to Barr. I'm not so sure he had some,
Barr and Mueller's wives are best friends.
They go to church together.
They play bingo together.
I know. I get it. Rosenstein, for crying out loud, what's up with that? I don't have any answers for you. I don't think anyone out there, and I'm sure there are people listening out there, are going to comment on our exchange, and they're going to say, well, Doug's just making excuses, and Dave's right.
Dave's not loyal. I mean, that's,
Right.
But exactly.
Okay, but put yourself – okay, so to those people out there who want to say that, great. You guys are armchair quarterbacks. God bless you. I'm sure you'd do a 100% better job than Donald Trump would in that position. Look, we don't know what the hell is going on behind the scenes. We really don't. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously something taking place behind the scenes. And everyone's got junk in their closet, and junk in closets don't like to stay in closets. Or perhaps it's something even worse. But the bottom line here is – I think what other choice do we have at that time back in 2016? And you're right. I think by the time it gets to 2020, we better see a really remarkable change in the justice system. Now, the economy, of course, one can argue, and of course, I understand how the fragility of the economy, the national debt, I get all that. But at least the Band-Aid approach. With the job rates and stuff, such as it is, he's done a good job.
Yeah. Footprints in the sand, though, Doug, because in 2020, Hillary steps in the Oval Office or Joe Biden off more than you can chew, if these guys end up in the Oval Office, they'll erase those footprints of progress.
100%.
Exactly. It'll be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do we do, though? I mean, at this point, what's aside from just complaining, what is it that we can possibly do to enact the changes? I know that what we're doing is we are attempting to become part of the change by, folks, and I got to tell you, Dave Hodges has got some good contacts within the I don't want to talk out of school, but look, he's got some good administration contacts. I watched it take place in a city where a conversation was held, and it was right to the office of the president. I mean, one step to the office of the president. So Dave Hodges has that ability, and I think collectively, as do we. So I think collectively, we are we not attempting to get the word to him, so to speak, and change his, or at least help propel him forward in this. I mean, that's what we're doing. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, except to say you've got.
I know what you're saying. Listen, he's the only girl in town. Okay. Yeah. So your options are slim and none after Donald Trump. But I have to tell you, well, I'll tell
but
you
hell.
What some of my contacts say. Let me go to least tied to potential widespread violence and most tied. Let's start FBI. Dave, I'm afraid conflict is unavoidable. If Trump starts to act, there'll be a civil war. That's one. That's from FBI. From ex-Arsoff, well-placed ex-Arsoff. Civil war is already here, Dave. The sides are lining up. Trust me, I know. Certain agencies are arming themselves. There's divisions within agencies. There are hit lists within agencies. This is what I'm told by ex-Arsoff. Doug, I don't see, and this common sense stands for nonviolent change. But based on what I'm learning, I don't see how we're getting out of this without a fight. See, they're going to do the internet kill switch. I'm convinced of that. I agree with Alex Jones on that point. I'm getting some of the same information. That's going to put people in the streets. Or they're going to come directly after the guns. And we're already seeing signs of it on a bold level in local cities like Boulder, Colorado. That's going to put people in the streets. The trigger points are in place, Doug. It's just the right trigger has to be pulled. And I think there's going to be mass casualties in this country. And I hate to say it because I'm still trying to work change to the system through Donald Trump's office. And that's my frustration.
I totally agree with you on that. And I agree that there will be a flashpoint or a series of flashpoints and there will be blood on the street. I don't think we can avoid that. It's sad to say, but what's the old saying? If there must be war, let it be in my generation. And I certainly, and I've asked this question before, what's the civil war in this country? Perhaps not having one. Because I am not going to live on my D's, on my knees. I will die on my, I will die on my feet. Because I don't want to see this country go by way of Venezuela. I don't want to see the two-tier justice system go on anymore. I don't want to see a rogue intelligence guy. I mean, and in defense of Donald Trump, I mean, my goodness, he said he was wiretapped. Everyone laughed, and come to find out, yeah, he was wiretapped out the wazoo, and so was every member of his administration and his family and such. So you had generations, really, of deep state swamp creatures build this infrastructure within Washington, and working against any outsider like Donald Trump. And man, he's like in a fishbowl at this moment, and a lot of people point a gun.
You know,
go
ahead. A good friend in the State Department, Monica Wazalowski.
Yes,
and she's been very outspoken. I'm surprised she still has a job. She really thinks that the deep state permeates so much through government agencies because, as you said, it's gone on so long, you'd have to throw out the furniture to make a change. I mean, it's so deeply ingrained that you've got these people who are dedicated to the overthrow of the United States government and replacing it, as you said, with a communist utopia. This is their goal. I mean, Ocasio-Cortez said you're going to pay 70% in taxes. Elizabeth Warren says the government's going to take over your business. This is, Doug, what we're looking at. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a nonviolent person, but I do handle a firearm. Okay. And although I'm older, I still know how to pack a punch. I'm a third degree black belt. And when the blue helmet comes to my door, there's going to be something coming right back at him. And that's an amazing thing for me to say. But see, that's an invasion. They're coming to get me and my family. That's self-defense.
That's right.
If the Russians and Chinese are on my street, if MS-13 is out there, they're on my street, they are in my crosshairs because that's an invasion. That is self-defense of me, my family, and my community.
You're 100% absolutely correct. And I would also extend that to the domestics, like you mentioned, Boulder, Colorado. And this goes into an even larger discussion, in my view. Where in the hell are the men? Where are the Christian conservative men in this country to stand up and say no more. Now, I get the fact that we're working. You know, we've got a job, we've got families, we've got responsibilities, as opposed to the idiotic, moronic, you know, do-nothings out there with the, you know, rings in their nose and their earlobes down to their navels and their navels down to their kneecaps. Okay. I mean, obviously, they're being used as cannon fodder for the Democratic Socialists. But at some point here, we've got to stand up and say enough is enough. And I think that, I think we're at this, as going back to what I said before, the tipping point. We're looking at a revolution as well as a civil war. The Alinskyites have done so much to divide this country along racial, economic, and other lines. And now we are also looking at a revolution because of the big government who are coming for our weapons, who are coming to shut us up and shut us down. I'm fighting a frivolous, meritless lawsuit attempting to bankrupt me. Jones is fighting several. Jones has been deplatformed and taken off. I've gotten so many messages saying, oh my gosh, the guy's toxic. Guys, toxic, you gotta stay away from them. That's what the hell they want.
No,
they want to make all of us toxic.
I know. Here we are, Doug. We've arrived at where we started in this conversation, and we're both in harmony. I mean, we differ a little on patience towards Donald Trump, but we are at the same place. And I'm sorry, we are also out of time. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell people how to listen to your show. It's the best show on the radio, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you're listening to this show, that's the place to be, the Common Sense Show. However, if you want to listen during the week, 7 to 10 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, just go to HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com, or simply HagmanReport.com. Hagman Report Live is where we've got the video and audio. And Hagman Report Live, that's where that is, and Hagman Report for everything else. And it's two N's, HAGMANN, HagmanReport.com. And I thank you so much. But folks, we've got to stick together. You heard Dave and I. Our difference is so minor. Our objectives are the same. We have to get together, stick together, and fight together, or we're going to die together. That's as simple
as that. I'll say this. We're so infiltrated in the independent media. I mean, people pretending to be independent media that are really there to take us down.
Sure.
We're so infiltrated. I've tightened my inner circle, and people can tell who my inner circle is. Doug and Joe, there are two of them. Steve is another, obviously. Ted Brewer, Paul Preston, Paul Martin, Bob Griswold, you know, Lisa Haven, you look at Sheila Zielinski, and there's more that I'm leaving out. But I have to tell you, my inner circle has shrunk, and folks, listen to me, discernment. If these people don't somehow, at least in some way, mention the power of God and invoking the power of God and using the power of prayer, then, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the wrong people.
Doug,
always a pleasure to have you on, and keep up the good work on your show.